Blog Talk Radio.
We are the Crystal Gems. We'll always save the day.
And if you think we can't,
we'll always find a way.
That's why the people
of this world
believe in Garnet,
Amethyst, and Pearl,
and Steven.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys, with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host,
Satish. I wish I could do Steven's voice. That would be nice. But hi.
Yeah. But yes, we are doing Steven Universe today. And we're doing episodes 31 and 32, both very good episodes. And it's strange, they didn't, it's a weird thing, where they didn't advance the plot in certain, you know, in the way certain people talk about plot. And we've said this a lot during our Steven Universe shows, but if any of you are listening in for the first time, you know, they didn't, quote-unquote, advance plot, but they still did some amazing things that really make you connect with certain secondary characters, and at the very least, advance plot for the characters themselves. You know, because in my opinion, and yours too, Satish, the show doesn't just revolve around what someone considers, oh, it's only about this story. This story, if this story doesn't advance, I don't want to watch this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I'm pleased with, where I have dealt with, like, extreme filler in anime. And so, naturally, I can sit there and look at anything that's filler and in my head think, I don't need to watch this. Now, so there's going to have to be a reason for me to watch it. And whether it be the fact that there is, like, you know, an emotional investment or just general good humor, I can be convinced. So, Steven Universe has me on good faith, where I can look at it and think, okay, this is going to be filler, but it's probably not going to be bad. And so, yes.
Sub or dub, which one do you choose? Which side of the battle you want?
This made me happy because I think you and I have had this discussion, and that line killed me. Just like, they're turning us against each other. And I thought to myself, yeah, my podcast partner and I have discussed this, actually. That's very, very humorous. Because
yes.
I think,
everyone listens to our show.
You're a subs guy, and I'm a dub guy.
Not all. Okay, I've come around to dubs in my old age. Before we go on, right? And we're gonna talk about that in a second.
Welcome to the dark side.
Well, we're gonna talk about that in a second. But what I want to say is, to anyone listening in who maybe can't continue listening in through their internet, or they, you know, want someone else to listen in, but they can't listen in through their internet because, let's say, the computer is being taken up or something or the other. Don't worry. Don't fret. Our call-in number, right, which is 718-664-9468, can be used to listen in. So if you need to listen into our show, you can call in, 718-664-9468. And if you don't push 1, then you can listen to our show. Now, Satish, tell them what happens if they push 1.
Yeah, if you do push 1, that means you want to get on air with us. And basically, if you've got a question or a comment on something we're talking about, of course, we're talking about Keep Beach City Weird and Fusion Cuisine today, you can get on the air with us and make your comment known or pose a question to us by calling that number, 718-664-9468, and hitting the 1 button. We'll be alerted to your presence, and we can put you on air. And, of course, we don't talk about this enough, but that call-in number is, you know, the same across all of our shows. So if you're sitting there thinking, like, hey, is it weird that they're talking about how to listen to us when you have to be listening to hear our message? No, because if you want to call in on the wrestling show, you know you're not going to be able to hear us on your computer. Same number. Always 718-664-9468. Always been that way.
Right.
All of our shows will have that number.
Good thing to bring up. So back to the sub versus dub. It's very funny because I don't want to say I'm fighting an uphill battle saying, you know, when I was younger, oh, I love subs, this and this. But here's the thing. In a way, I am, because I love doing voiceover stuff. So in a way, I'm screwing myself over if I say, yeah, no, I don't like dubs. Why do dubs even exist?
Is a hilarious,
I just like,
point
to do them.
That I have never, ever considered when arguing with you. And I'm really sad that I never sat there and looked at you and said, Matt, if you like subs so much, why do you want to be a voiceover actor?
Exactly.
And have broken
you. Well, because, you know, because the thing is, when I was very young, you see, I don't think we really had, we just had mostly, oh, I like subs usually, but I also enjoy dubs. But I don't think we've had a real hardcore discussion, because when I was younger, when I was, like, you know, teenage years before I did voiceover stuff, that's when I was very, oh, no, the subs are completely accurate. But then as I've done very little work in the fan sub community, not that I'm saying that subs aren't accurate, but to make very good subs, you do have to be, in a way, liberal. So at the same time, you know, with a dub, of course, a dub has to be very liberal in the sense that you also have to do, you know, work with mouth flaps and everything. But a dub, you know, should really only be, you know, put up and, you know, like rated on voiceover work, acting, and, you know, the simple, the script itself. If it's as close to the original intent of the, not even of the scripts, of the author, of the creator, as it can be, right? So, yeah, you change the joke. Don't crucify anyone if it's the same intent as the author tried to give out, which was simply humor. Because if you translate a joke directly, not going to work. Sorry, no one laughed. Even if they, you know, I don't know about you, Satish, but if someone explains a joke to me, I'm not going to sit there and go, that was a riot, once explained to me.
Yeah, if I catch it on my own, I will, you know, laugh. I think some of the harder work when it comes to subbing and dubbing across the board is that jokes that, like, you know, you look at something, let's say, was originally done in Japan, so in dialect of Japanese, and the joke may have been a pun or wordplay that, you know, how do you translate that over? As a sub, it sometimes can come easier, but then as a dub, it's like you have to completely shift that around to make it make sense, or else the line of what originally was trying to do, the intent of humor.
Exactly. So you know, and we're talking about this. Right. And, you know, so we're talking about this. Why? Because of the fact that apparently that's what the Illuminati, that's what the snake people, rather, want us to do. They want us to go on to, right, they want us to go on to anime message boards and fight each other on the sub versus dub debate.
Yeah, so let me commend them here at Steven Universe, because
completely,
yeah, not that they haven't received it from me already. You know, I'm already on record saying that I like the show, I like the script, I like where they're going. But certain things, okay. Before this episode, we have discussed this on air, and I pointed this out to Matt because I stumbled across it thanks to the Steven Universe Reddit subreddit. The Keep Beach City Weird blog is actually a blog that was being maintained on Tumblr for a while now. And so the screenshot that you saw Ronaldo show on his phone when he was talking to Steven is actually the icon that he uses on this Tumblr to maintain it. So the staff has maintained this Tumblr to, like, continue with the show. And the staff is also readily approachable on Tumblr itself for their concept art and just for discussion. And so you can sense the youth in the cast, because they're able to make this connection directly to Tumblr and say, you know what? What would be funny? This guy talks about having a blog, but actually has the blog on Tumblr.
Right.
And someone sat there and thought, that's genius. And it really was, because it's so fun to follow it. And like, I'll give you an example of the post where during the Ocean Gem episode, when that came out that day, he had two posts of, the ocean is gone. What am I going to do? And, oh, the ocean is back. We are fine. And just, but that was weird, wasn't it? And so stuff like that. And so it's very, very nice the way they maintain it. And so the direct reference made me happy. And then you look at the scripting where he makes jokes like dubs or sub and anime message boards. And just it kind of made me happy in a way, because, yes, it almost feels like it's pandering to a certain audience. I will give some people who are criticizing it that. But it shows that they are very proud of their youth and their up-and-upness. They know what's going on, what attracts certain fans. And they're appealing to that. And
that's the thing.
A good show at the same time.
Yes, that's the thing. I don't want to say pandering, if only because it's not as if, for me, pandering becomes an issue when it becomes so blatant that it's not even funny, in the sense that, you know, let's say in the show Supernatural, right, I feel like they pander to certain people that like to do certain shifts by giving them those lines so that they will continue watching the show and feeding into those ships. The same thing, I believe, with Arrow, which recently has been doing a ship that people have shipped on the internet that have not, it did not seem as if it had any buildup to me, someone who doesn't ship previously. You know, again, you know, your shipper, I'm not going against your ship, because that's just, you know, what you feel, and I'm not trying to say that you're wrong, But it doesn't look, it didn't look like to me that the show had built up that relationship. And there was a gap, yes, in between seasons, a time gap, but still, it seemed to be out of the blue, right? And then you look here, you know, and I don't see that in a way, where I feel like it's just a person who we haven't really seen, you know, but in the way that he acted and everything, it really didn't seem off to me that he would be this tinfoil hat kind of person who would be rummaging around the internet for facts, you know, the facts that you believe in that go against other smaller facts.
Yeah, it just, I guess it shocks me that Ronaldo was that kind of character, but in the sense that, like, okay, it shocked me, but based on what they know, you know, okay, we talk about Gravity Falls a lot, and Gravity Falls, there actually are supernatural things going on in the town, and the protagonist is not the cause, but is like us trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, similar to Ronaldo.
Right.
And so, from an outsider's perspective, Beach City is essentially a normal city outside of the Crystal Gems and what happens there. So
right.
It only makes sense that anything that's considered supernatural is a result of the Crystal Gems. And it almost makes too much sense where you sit there and it's like, damn. Because there isn't much, okay, there's not anything going on in Beach City, but there is a lot going on with the Crystal Gems. So
right.
it's weird because I wanted to sit there and be like, God damn it, he's one of those, you know, as you aforementioned, like the tinfoil people. Just like, conspiracy! But...
Well, no. Well, I mean, okay. I say
yes
that
no,
not
right?
because he... Well, I say it because he's directing it in the wrong way. Where if he said, it's the gems, where are the gems from? And in a way, it really mirrors, I think, humanity. Where I didn't pick this up until you brought it up, so thank you. It mirrors humanity where it's just, oh yeah, we'll accept the weird things that are at our front door. But then there must be even weirder things over here in this direction that we can't confirm. And it's just, dude, the crystal gems being a thing, right, arguably should be the weirdest thing about Beach City, but because you have accepted them and Steven in your world, you're like, yeah, it's fine. But what about these snake people?
Yeah, it's just interesting because I can get that whole wanting to figure out why things are weird. I mean, as an outsider's perspective, not knowing Crystal Gem history and what goes on their daily lives, right? You can sit there and think, oh my God, the fucking ocean is gone. That is weird. Or, oh my God, these
right.
red rocks are protruding from the sidewalk. That is weird. And it is.
Of course.
So, you know, I'm almost wrong in saying there's nothing wrong, like, weird going on in Beach City. There is weird stuff going on in Beach City, but
no,
it's
no,
not
no.
of, like, unknown
yes.
origin. It is
but
all
it's
centered
funny.
Around the Crystal Gem.
Yes. But it's funny that he doesn't go up to their doorstep. That's, I think, what's very interesting. You know, that kind of look into how people just go, yeah, that's the thing, whatever. And then I truly believe in Pearl, where I think you mentioned she's always a bit strange this episode, but I really agreed with her ideals of, you know, humanity just tries to blame things on other things because it's so true. I'm not saying that certain things might not exist because, of course, there's always an era of, hey, you don't know. You know, like, I mean, for all we know, the government could have technology that, you know, 50 years from now, they'll go, yes, this is new. Why are you winking, Mr. President? I don't understand what you're talking about. This piece of technology is new. We've never had it before. Mr. President, you're still winking, right? So we don't know a lot about anything, really. But at the same time, you know, humanity is the kind of where, you know, we'll blame this on this instead of just going, well, wait, let's all just talk and let's all, you know, have peace and stuff. No, we must blame something on another side.
Now,
we must find fault elsewhere
in
someone else.
As, you know, you mentioned how they kind of, like, how Ronaldo's not, like, knocking on the Crystal Gem's door and stuff like that, and that's true up to this point. And
right.
I think it might change, though, because
hopefully.
The end of the episode was really cryptic for me, and
yes.
I'll explain. So, you know, foreshadowing is a big thing in these shows and what goes on and how things are going to work. And, you know, Pearl, and by the way, this entire episode supported my whole idea that Pearl is a racist and ethnocentric. But
I really think that she was right on the money, so I
yeah,
think
but
it was,
that's
it's
like,
a bit hard.
That's like looking at someone and says, well, you know, black people do eat a lot of fried chicken. They're right in stereotyping.
Oh, because of one person, you mean?
sort of. Like, I'm not saying there is... Okay, to every stereotype, there's usually some merit behind it. So...
Right, but I mean,
I stand behind the fact
though,
that she's racist. Because, like, it just doesn't... I mean...
I don't remember what we brought up last time where I think we both agreed, but this time she has probably seen a lot in her history where people just have wars because they go, the other side is wrong. Well, I'm in this war because the other side is wrong.
But
now,
still,
saying,
generalizing is still not a good habit and reeks of ethnocentrism and just, you know, and it's not
true.
A good, it's not a positive generalization, which in itself is still wrong. But it's just basically like futile humans, they are stupid, especially this one.
Fair enough.
So,
I guess because I am a people, because I am one of people.
And I get you, because I know that I do that too. But it's weird, because, like, it generalizing is still bad. But, you know.
Fair enough.
Putting that aside for a bit, because I don't need to get on my little rant again.
Right.
She says something along the lines of, like, you know, he isn't right, and he'll never be right. Like, verbatim, I think she says, you know, he will never be right.
Yes, that is, yeah,
and,
that was the one thing that I went,
No, yeah, that in itself being, you know, outside of what I just mentioned. But she says he'll never be right. And at the end of the episode, he says polymorphic sentient rocks, which is a crystal gem.
Right.
Because polymorphic sentient rocks basically mean rocks that can think for themselves, that can shapeshift, which are what the crystal gems are. And
that is
so it was really, really interesting for me because he essentially pegged them for what they were but didn't realize what was right in front of him. And it's really significant for me because I know that there's more to be told that hasn't been discussed, and that's kind of a duh moment, but it intrigued me that they let Ronaldo get that right.
Because I think it's just another situation of, you know, again, this is from the writer's perspective. This is what's right in front of you. You are not going to get it. Where, hey, guess what? You might be a snake person. You might be a reptilian alien. But I'll never know, even though you're right in front of me, Satish. You know what I mean?
I can't get what you're
saying. Yeah, because, I mean, although, again, that could change in the future, and that's what's very interesting, because definitely this character isn't going away at all. And, you know, the one thing, though, I do want to mention, where you mentioned, oh, you know, Pearl was wrong. The only thing other than that one line that you mentioned, that other than that, where I really think that they were wrong in this episode, is that they just immediately, I know Ronaldo was holding Steven captive, but for some reason, it's just, I feel as if, maybe it's because I'm too much in Dragon Ball Z and other shows where they can sense other beings, but I feel as if the Crystal Gems could look at this guy and just go, that is not a being of power in any way. But for some reason, they treated him as if they were going to kill Ronaldo. And it made me wonder.
The Ronaldo fight,
yes,
that wasn't staged. Or at least I think it wasn't staged. It confused me.
No, I would...
Because, all right, when they first broke it, I thought, like,
right.
Oh, are they doing this to assist Steven? But I stopped and thought, no, Steven didn't tell them, which was... you know,
right.
Reiterated towards the end. And I laughed because Amethyst growling like a dog made me laugh because I thought, like, oh, is she trying to be intimidating for the sense of, you know, this moment? But when I realized they're actually fighting him, it talks about the fact, like, okay, Pearl, Garnet, and Amethyst essentially don't know that much about humanity. And what that shows is that not only did they almost use lethal force on Ronaldo, who was not equipped to fight them at all, but... when he threatened to use his psychic ghost powers, as funny as that sounds to us, they were on guard. Because they don't know, they don't understand it the way we understand it, in terms of not only just we as, like, people who are viewing a show, but as fellow human beings. We can sit there and go, pfft, but they have actual powers. And they don't really grasp humanity, it seems. So it's interesting that just at the threat of that, they were willing to fight him because they thought not to laugh at him, but this guy may actually have something that he may use to hurt Steven.
I really wonder how long they've been on Earth then. I really wish...
for a long time. It just feels they don't care to understand humanity in a way, and I don't mean that
in
any way.
No,
or
I remember...
It doesn't come up for them.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember what I was talked about. I think it was the last episode that we did, or the episode before that, was that, yeah, two episodes ago, most likely, where I feel as if, you know, and I don't know about gem physiology, but I do know about when people, right, our brains are not able to comprehend a lot, in the sense that if we lived for thousands of years, years to us would become minutes or even seconds. So I wonder for them, I mean, you can see a bit of it in episode 32, where they go, Stephen, you are not allowed to eat for 1,000 years. Because to them, they think that is an appropriate amount of time.
Yeah, that was a laughable thing, because the 1,000 years was just like a matter of a week for them. And we've discussed this, you know, you brought up the idea that, you know, think about the fact that how many years they've been on the planet, that a span of like 50 years is like a day to them. So,
yes, but I really want to know how long they've been on, in the sense that I really hope that there's the second season can have certain episodes that are flashbacks, because I want to know if they've dealt with magic people before. Because usually, you know, in most in fictional shows, when they go back, even some of the ones that seem more grounded in realism, they'll always have a sense of magic or something else. Only when you go into the past. It is only recently where people just go, magic? Nah. I have a Wii. I have a GameCube in my room. I have, you know what I mean? But we don't need magic. But
yeah,
in
I mean,
the past, it's just like, there you know,
are,
magic? Wizards,
there's
magic?
History of, not particularly in America, but well, actually across the world, honestly, there's instances of what people look at as black magic, voodoo,
right.
Practices of Wicca are even sometimes looked at as quote-unquote magic, because people are...
Right, and there is witchcraft in America. It's just that there really wasn't witchcraft in America. But
right, like the Salem witch trials were a hoax.
Right.
Not that the people dying was a hoax, but that the way that it was went around was very dangerous to the public and based on a hoax.
Right.
And
right.
But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be... an illogical contest, like, you know, something to say to me, just after me saying, hey, they took him seriously, to say, well, maybe they have a reason to take him seriously, because they faced some kind of magic person in the past. And, you know, I don't know how we could confirm that, I mean, if it's going to be established or not, but it's definitely
hopefully
something worth thinking about, because obviously, they've been around for a long time, very, very long.
Yeah.
Thousands of years, because... I mean, it may have been more for humor, the whole 1,000 years thing. But if we're to base it off that, I mean, because their characters are pretty much written with detail, attention, and intelligence, they've been around for a very, very, very long time. And the picture where they were, like, in the olden days, like, catching that shark when Rose was still around, you know, basically makes us able to assume that, yes, they've been around for a very long time. And what have they seen? And what have they been around for but not actually seen? You know, like, have they've been alive through wars, but have they watched those wars being fought, or have they just basically sat there and thought, you know, let the feudal humans fight this out between themselves. We shall not intervene.
It's just really funny. It's just really funny because even in saying that, which, of course, I understand, you know, your argument of bastardizations, because those are wrong. But still, again, as humans, right, isn't most war idiotic? Isn't pretty much war, the idea of, you know, let's gather an army because our beliefs slightly differ, you know, compared to yours, and let's kill each other over it. It does look barbaric, not only as a person, but I think on the outside, too. Though I wonder, because it also we also have these theories of the gems possibly leaving a war or there being a giant gem war. And, you know, I think I was saying, you know, I do have a theory of the gems possibly leaving a war, you know, being renegades in a war. Basically going, we're out. A bit like the Doctor kind of just, you know, being in a war, yes, but not really, you know, I mean, actually the Doctor in a way really stopped the war, so let's hope it's not like that. But, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things about the gems, I feel. And, but anyway, this episode itself, what do you think about the episode compared to maybe what you thought before watching the episode in terms of the title and even the summary versus what you saw? How did you feel?
Okay, well, this was essentially the show's Halloween episode, because this came out last week, Thursday. And so I figured it would have been something different, like along the theme of like, ooh, spooky. So I got more comedy than I expected. And that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because, like, from the beginning, the Stephen tag scene had me laughing just Garnet as Steven. You know, we didn't mention that up to this point, but Garnet as Steven was fucking hilarious. Just a matter
of
keeping the glasses and then, well, are you ready for Steven Tag? And blast the crap out of Amethyst. Guess I win. And it just smiled, where I'm like, that's just ridiculous. That entire scene was ridiculous, but it was beautiful. And just the general, and I, for, in a terrible way, I laughed when Garnet broke a barrel across Ronaldo, because she did it with such ease and just like, you will die.
See, it's funny, I think, when you don't sit there and think, they are, it's basically, you know, three highly trained assassins versus me. You know, no one, it didn't click for everyone, obviously. But
it didn't click for me until after, because in the moment, I laughed, where it was just a ridiculous, the way it was done, because Ronaldo was essentially helpless against them. So it, you can definitely spin it around and be like, feel bad for him. And I'd be like, I kind of do, because he's essentially just trying to live his life, and he's not wrong, per se. His overarching theory is wrong in terms of snake people or Sneeple. But in terms of noticing weird things, he's right. There are things going, you know, in terms of that, the flowers and all that stuff is different and definitely worth noting. But it's just a matter of, well, where does this character go from here? Because he has discovered something, I think, in terms of he discovered the crystal gems, but he hasn't exactly discovered the crystal gems because they were he doesn't realize that.
Yeah, it is interesting to see where he will go in the future and where his Tumblr will take him, which my question also I want to ask, is his Tumblr, did it have a post saying that he stopped during the show?
I believe it did.
That's lovely. Of course, you know, attention to detail, but that's lovely. But what I thought about the episode, I thought the episode was going to be weirder. I'm so happy to see more of Ronaldo because I really wanted to know more about him, just, you know, from it. I mean, he's even a pro wrestling fan. You know, I really want, and he marked out, I believe, during the pro wrestling episode.
He was the lock, the block, Loch Ness monster.
He what?
In Tiger Millionaire, he was one of the wrestlers.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He was
I'm sorry. Oh, then I'm sorry. Lars marked out then.
Yes, Lars was a mark.
Okay, my bad. But either way, it's his interest in professional wrestling, I think, just kind of, all of them, even Lars, too, mirrors us in a way, which is kind of funny when you think back on it. But anyway, I thought the episode was going to be a bit weirder. I'm still happy that it went in the direction of, you know, again, the internet and even the Illuminati and things like that, because it is something interesting to go into, and I'm happy that they're going into it now. And they even went into it a bit farther than, let's say, something like Gravity Falls went into, because Gravity Falls did a secret society thing, but it's wonderful how Ronaldo brought out a dollar bill, something that you can easily look on YouTube to find information about,
mm-hmm.
you know, from people's theories. So it was very interesting how, you know, they went into this. Of course, Gravity Falls did too, which, you know, I have to admit, you know, both Gravity Falls and Steven Universe bringing up the Illuminati in the same month? Coincidence?
Oh, by the way,
probably.
By the way, I needed to check. In the exact same font as you saw on the show, he had two posts of, can science explain this big potato? And, never mind, I'm shutting this blog down.
Yes.
So,
that's wonderful.
You know, that's why, like, the show is actually mirroring in a very direct fashion, where it's like, no, someone's not running a blog for fun. Someone, as part of the staff, is actually running this blog, maintaining it alongside the show. And now they're answering questions on there because he posted about the diamond conspiracy. So people are sending him questions and, like, feeding the idea, you know, being playful as the fandom is. And that's definitely one of the things I can point to is, like, a really good example for the future of cartoons and this kind of stuff, where it just it helps us feel more a part of the process or more included, like, in terms of being able to contact. You know, we know that we're contacting, quote-unquote, Ronaldo, but really what we're doing is contacting someone on the staff, and they're having fun with us. And it just makes everyone feel more welcome to the people who created the show. And that's great.
Yeah, I feel as if, you know, because of the new blood in there and because they know what they're doing, where let's say you look at maybe a writer in Hollywood right now, who the writer has been around for years and years and years, and then he goes and then they say, oh, hey, Jim, write something about high school kids. And then he does. And, you know, it's like, oh, and market it towards the high school kids. And the marketing team markets it towards the high school kids. And the high school kids watch it and go, that is not like my school at all. Because that guy who's been around went to high school, you know, in the 70s, I mean, in the 80s, you know, things like that, where the people right now, at the very least, have a very good grasp on what the internet is, right, on how it works. And you can, you know, and connecting with their fans with the internet. So it's not as if someone just stumbled upon Tumblr. No, clearly they know what they're doing. They know how it works, and they know how to work us, because it's working us. But we accept it because they know what they're doing. Where, let's say you look at some other companies where it's like, we're going to work up good, and then they don't know what they're discussing. And you sit there and you go, okay, Grandpa.
Yes, I'm saying it speaks to the youth of the staff and how well they understand what's going on.
Yes. And I really felt bad when Ronaldo shut down the blog. I was like, no, because in a way, right, while we are not Ronaldo, in certain ways, we are certain shades of Ronaldo. In the way that while we do have day jobs, that we do go to, well, yeah, in a way you have a day job. You work with me now occasionally. So, yeah, we have day jobs, but we also do this on the side. Where if we had to shut this down, we would have a very large set on our hands. Just a very large set. Just right there. Be terrible.
Definitely.
So I felt for him. I was like, no, his dream. You know, it's dead. I was like, no, Stephen, what did you do?
Yeah,
you know,
I
Stephen was a good guy for dressing up as a snake.
Yeah, no, because he in his head is like, I have hurt somebody who does not seem inherently evil. Let me fix things. And it just, it speaks again to Stephen being a young child. And, of course, his naivete by just actually believing they were snake people until proven differently.
You saying naivete reminds me of encyclopedia, which is actually the true pronunciation of encyclopedia. Also, what is it? Pulitzer. Pulitzer instead of Pulitzer.
Please don't.
Another one.
Don't reference Mike Tyson Mysteries on here, because that's the greatest show on the planet, and I want to talk about that at some point. But
oh, good. We will at some point. Don't you worry, Satish. We'll add more because
if
Mike
anyone's
Tyson
listening,
Mysteries.
And you have ever watched TV and found yourself enjoying it, you should watch Mike Tyson's Mysteries. That's the best endorsement I can give you, because it's just the. I don't want to talk about it now because we will.
Yeah. Right before we move on, I just want to mention. So you know, quickly, right back to subs versus dubs. You know, while I still enjoy a good sub every once in a while, people really need to remember that you don't know the language that they're speaking in, so you can't say that they're better actors than the English dub. All you can say is, well, this English dub is better or worse. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, right? And I guess for me, because I am someone who speaks English somewhat fluently, I just feel more comfortable sitting there and think. And yes, like sometimes I can sit there and think, okay, that person's voice sounds more like what I think that character should sound like. I've said that before.
Right.
But I speak English, so it comforts me in a way. Not in a I'm scared of Japanese way, but just I hear it in English, and it's just easier for me to understand. And it's also more convenient for me because if I'm watching something with subs, I have to actually sit there and give direct attention to the subs because, of course, I don't understand the language.
Right, of course. And again, you know, I softened up on the idea of, you know, of dubs
good,
being,
good,
you know,
good.
Great.
Good.
And there are a lot of great dubs out there. It's just, of course, you know, there are also a lot of horrible dubs out there.
Right.
And sometimes, and not even horrible, just not what you want, because, of course, subs are a lot easier to get out than dubs. So when you see a sub, it's usually, you know, very quick. It's usually out there faster. And then you see the dub, and sometimes it does not compare, or it does not, you know, pop up what you would hear, the voice. When you hear the voice, you're like, oh, that sounds like this kind of voice. And then you hear the dub, and you go, that is not what I imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And it throws you off. And I think that's another thing, too. But I really enjoy the idea of that is a great way to control the populace. I have to be honest, according to the law, dubs versus subs, which one? And most of the time, no one will ever agree. Because they'll sit there and be like, no, but if you're putting words on a screen, that's more accurate than you could ever be if you're saying them. And it's just complete pandemonium. So great job, Steven Universe staff.
No,
I thought it was up to you.
I laughed at the ridiculousness, just, and sports and elections. And I'm like, thank you all. Because you can just see in the sports thing, it's like snakes versus cobras or something. And it's just like, of course
they'd
be snake
that.
Teams. And I just laughed. I'm like, I'm not
sure
those are real teams, but that's great.
I laugh at the elections because it's always true in a way where he just put things out there that require general this versus this, and people have to choose a side. And then, I mean, you can think about sports. People go nuts for sports in a way where
Hello.
If you are on enemy turf, no, but I mean it in this way. If you are on quote-unquote enemy turf, you could die and people will accept it. The law will
yes.
have to do something about it, but if
people
the town is small enough,
died.
The law will begrudgingly do something about it. Like,
oh,
all
yeah.
right.
People have died in opposing sports arenas and
yes.
baseball stadiums and stuff, and I can definitely attest
Soccer.
To that. And, you know, understanding home team advantage. Sometimes taken a little bit too far. But,
yeah.
You know, moving on from
anyway.
Our eternal
yes.
divisions and the fact that we're overlooking the overarching problem in snake people, we had another
right.
episode to talk about.
Fusion Cuisine, where Steven owns a GameCube. And apparently, I think one of the games there blurred out was Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, I believe.
It seemed like it was at least a reference to Legend of Zelda, which made me pleased.
Well, that's what I read up. I believe it was Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. But still, very interesting stuff. You know, not only Steven on a GameCube, but they were watching a show that was it Under the Knife, which was hilarious.
Yes.
And I think what's even funnier, Connie, in my opinion, it was wrongingly thought that this soap opera / drama series was a parody, and it really made me chuckle.
That made me smile, because we can sit there and think, this is a parody of real life, and that's why it's funny. And then what adds to it is that Connie's mother is a doctor. So, of
yes.
course, she sits there and thinks, this is a mockery of my profession. And she would be upset at it. So I get both sides, though, because at the same time, I mean, this is such a good show. So
yes.
I get it, Connie. Lovable as always for me.
I think I really enjoyed when Garnet panicked.
That was, hands down, I think, one of the better scenes they have written in the show to date. Because
yes.
Not only was her physical version of panic, I'm going to adjust my glasses. That's her panic. But
right.
her response was, the children are playing swords. No, they're playing with swords. They are bleeding. They are dead. Don't call back.
Yes, never call again. Click.
I flipped. Just, did you realize what you said?
Like, the fact that there was a dinner involved at all, I think people have to give Connie's mom more credit than they probably have been on the internet. Because I think a lot of people, I haven't seen much of the reactions on the internet, but I'm sure a lot of people are bad-mouthing Connie's mom or bashing her. But you have to understand, if your mother at that age lets you then have dinner with the other person's family after a phone call like that, you better give her some credit.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and you can tell by the fact that she doesn't absolutely go nuts when she sees Alexandrite, is based on the idea that Connie, as Steven, is a young child. And so in her narration of things, her mother will overreact more than she will actually do based on Connie's reactions. Like, what I'm saying is that, of course,
right.
Connie makes it seem like things are worse than they are. And not saying that her mother isn't strict and, you know, in that way with her, but she probably just thinks that her mother will overreact to everything. Like, for example, with the TV show, she just thinks, mom doesn't get it. But in mom's head, this is a mockery of her profession. So it's just that generational gap. So for Connie, I think that she always portrayed her mom as, like, strict and overbearing, and she might be. But she may also be a bit more open-minded than Connie realizes because she's never seen her in that situation. And this was a good
exactly.
example of such.
Yes, because the problem, I mean, yes, of course, it became, you know, a thing where it sounded like she was bad-mouthing the Gems, but really, at the end of the day, she just didn't like that she couldn't trust Connie.
Yeah, and because she wants to believe that regardless, that her daughter will tell her the truth. And
exactly.
Now, of course, she doesn't understand that in Connie's head, telling the truth would have risked her arguably her only friendship, which is what's stated earlier in the show. Her only friendship,
right.
And what is, you know, written to be a bit more than a friendship, quite obviously. So,
yes.
So of course, the mother doesn't understand how much Steven means to Connie. And then on the flip side, Connie in her head is just trying to do whatever she can to stay with Steven. So again, it's one of those I see both sides things. And of course you do too.
But it's a lovely gap with characters because, yeah, sometimes parents will not realize what they're doing because in their heads they're just thinking, but you could have just came to me. And
we kind of got their nationality defined, by the way. Connie's Indian.
Which, it's strange, though, because, yes, we have, but her dad, I'm not saying that he should have been voiced over by a man, you know, who was Indian, but I will say this much. He was voiced over by a white guy.
Yes, definitely.
Our guest, by the way, for the episode.
But I don't know what it says, but it. Well, what are you trying to get at, I guess? What?
Well, no, I think I was just saying, you know, I understand that, yes, we got confirmation on her, you know, nationality. It was just strange that when I heard her dad's voice, you know, maybe she's mixed. That's what I'm saying. Maybe she's mixed and we didn't need to be given the, because I'm not saying that her dad has to have any type of accent.
Yeah,
you
that's
guy,
what I just
want to
confirm. Like, I
want to
make
yourself.
Sure you're not saying that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you look at me, dude. I mean.
No, of course. But here's the thing, though. You have changed your accent. You have changed your accent.
Oh, I have. Okay. But in the same, it's like,
and
while
also,
I have that in my realm of speaking, it's to be assumed that maybe he can as well.
But I also want to bring this up, too. How would you feel if a Guyanese character was on screen and you didn't get the chance to portray him? I think that's also something that I want to bring up just a bit.
Oh, totally. Of course I'd be bothered by that because rarely are we portrayed on screen anyway, and I would guarantee that if so, it's not going to be someone like me voicing them. It's going to be a more famed actor of whatever nationality that may be.
Right. And by the way, again, I don't want to jump and call out the people working on Steven Universe because just by having these people on screen is a step forward.
That last name is definitely something like Tamil, Tagul, basically like southeastern India. So, you know, and I had it written down, and I can't find my paper where I had the actual name. So I'll see if I can find that so I can actually make sure I say it on air, to be fair. But
the name is
of Indian origin. And it's just kind of like Easter egg kind of thing.
Yeah, of course, and a step in the right direction. And, of course, by the way, I am in love with the guest. I you might not know who he is. His name is Crispin Freeman. He has been the voice of Alucard on the show Helsing. He has also been the voice of Kion on the show The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. And, sadly, other roles that he's done, they're not in my mind currently. But, I think he was Electro in the Ultimate Spider-Man. No, not Ultimate Spider-Man, but the Spectacular Spider-Man. I believe he was Electro. And
Mahesh
Warren. He's done a lot of different voices.
Mahesh Warren, which is definitely...
Oh. Thank you.
It's pronounced a bit more differently than I'm saying it, but Mahesh Warren is her last name.
Yes. So, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with picking him in the sense that, you know, you want to get a guest. You, of course, I assume they like him because, you know, very anime-loving staff definitely enjoys Crispin Freeman. Right. But it was just a strange thing because at first I was like, oh, it's Crispin Freeman. But then it really dawned on me where I thought, could they have, you know, maybe gone a different choice of voice actor? But again... The idea of having an Indian family and also having Steven, you know, having a love interest with a girl who is of Indian descent, maybe even mixed, we don't know just yet, but we don't know that she's Indian, right, is a very good thing, I think, because it doesn't have to show that, hey, listen, anyone can like anyone, and there's nothing, you know, they've never really done anything to just say, oh, well, she has, you know, she's Indian. You know, no, it's just she's a person. And her name is Connie.
Also, I should mention that apparently Matt Burnett, writer on the show, has confirmed this anyway, that Connie's Indian. So, which is cool. So, confirmation on that much. But, yeah, so this episode had a lot of interesting one-liners for me that I think was kind of adorable and funny in the same way, where we had the lines like what Garnet mentioned, and then just the idea in the beginning, as it started off, the whole, like, she wants to talk to your mom. That's going to be tough because she gave up her physical form to have me. Like, it felt like one of the things that you and I would say, where it's like, oh,
right.
That's tough because mom gave up her physical form. Sorry about that. Like, so it,
well, then here's one great one. You bring up one. I want to bring up one.
Yes.
The mid-season pre-finale of Under the Knife. Truly mocking. Truly mocking, which I agree with. This idea of, oh, now we don't just have season finales. Now we have people needing to script in, you know, mid-season finale to have a nice little gap there. Even if it's just for a month.
People like us who will podcast about it.
Yes, and then listen to this, Tish. Not only, because I don't know if you ever really thought about it like this, right? Not only are there mid-season finales having to be, you know, put in like that, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, imagine if we, right, were to give one of our podcasts for Steven Universe. Let's say we were doing this weekly. We enjoy putting the two together because of the length of the episodes. Let's say we're doing this weekly, right? And we just said, oh, man, you're not going to have us doing this for 1 month. That's going to be crazy. And we talk about that for about a good 20 minutes, how we can't do it for a month because this reason or that, whatever. So it's not going to matter to someone looking at it in the archives, seeing it episode after. Yeah. So imagine someone being, you know, just, and then, you know, and also it's like, wow, that's so crazy. That's such a big climax. Well, going to watch the next one on Netflix. Going to watch the next one on Amazon Prime. Going to watch the next one on insert thing, DVD, you know, Blu-ray. And I know you can say the same thing about, like, a season finale. But still, now having to have two season finales, basically, where it's just five episodes. Let's say something like Doctor Who, where it's just five or six episodes. Mid-season finale. Just an episode to me. Going to go on to the next one.
That was one of my favorite lines in the episode as well, because I definitely kind of resonated where I was like, good point. And so there are kind of like two things I want to touch on, since we have about 10 minutes here, and the episode. And so you can stop me if you think I'm missing something huge. But, because I am. But also like the idea
of Nuclear Family.
Yeah, that was fun, by the way. Nuclear Family was a great line.
Go on.
So two things. One, I want to touch on what I wanted to get to beforehand, you and I were talking before this podcast, about the whole Garnet is a fusion theory and something that happened in this episode that feeds that theory. And secondly, and I guess more quickly we can knock this out of the way, Connie and Steven are very dedicated to one another. So much so that they were, you know, in a flash, it was just, let's go somewhere and just leave. And it was
Okay. I take that as dedication, but I also take that as two kids, basically going, we can live off of the land.
Yeah,
I mean,
just the whole, I'm going to pack my teddy bear and run away from home. And not particularly pack my teddy bear, but the same logic of I'm going to run away
from
home.
But how funny was it? Not just that, but, you know, I said live off the land, but literally, Steven said, and maybe we can find that apple farm.
I like that he stuck to that narrative.
Yes.
Just apple farm was in his head. But also, like, I definitely get the two kids thing, and that's totally a major part of it, if not the major part of why they did it. But it was on such a whim of they don't even know where they were going at all. Like, there was nothing there. Where, you know, I think sometimes when kids run away, there's at least a plan. Like, they've packed something, and they plan to go somewhere.
Sometimes.
You know?
Sometimes it's just anywhere but here.
Yeah, and it was definitely an anywhere but here moment. But as long as, you know, but we have each other. And it's just feeding this obvious, really adorable romance between the two.
Yeah, that, and it also shows you, and you really have to sit there and think about it. Not only, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, apparently Connie's only friend is Steven. Steven's only friend is Connie, in a way, because he knows people in town. But she doesn't really, you know, where he'll go, oh, yeah, I know that guy. But he doesn't sit there and go, If I can, I definitely want to spend time, like, just with this other person as his best friend.
Lars and Sadie will treat him, when Lars is in a good mood, rather, too. Lars and Sadie will treat him nicely, like a little younger brother. And then you have his friend at the Fryman's, Petey. But Petey's always busy working. And so Steven's on good terms with a lot of people, but, you know, as if you just mentioned, like, the whole idea of, like, yeah, he's on good terms with everybody, but in terms of having an actual friend who will go to his house and talk with him and go hang out with him. And we've seen him go on a picnic with Connie. We've seen Connie come over to watch TV with him, you know.
Yeah.
And so it feeds the idea that Connie is, outside of his dad and the Gems, it's Connie. Like, in the emotional tier, Connie is up there with them because of the time that they spend together.
Most definitely. And, you know, I just, and of course, again, it's like you said, it's cute, and I think it's just so, you know, it's nice to see that, it's nice to show that to, you know, to kids, which is like, hey, you know, again, how, you know, how nice is this, children? And they can, you know, again, oh, that's cute. And then, of course, you know, mirroring that, seeing the adults and how they act towards each other. And how, you know, at the end they reconciled because they realized, hey, I guess, you know, at least, you know, Connie's parents realized, hey, wait a minute, you are parents. You know what I mean? Regardless of how, which I think is a nice little kind of nod to, you know, basically, oh, you're not a nuclear family. Well, either way, you apparently, from the looks of it, are still a family. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I
matter
really
of
enjoy
like,
that kind
you
of acceptance.
Parent. Right, and raise the kid however way you can. And if it takes four people to instill these values, it takes four people regardless. But you look at it from our perspective, and it's just a matter of not Connie's mom's perspective, but us watching the show now. Crystal Gems who are not that aware of humanity, and an aloof father who is not the greatest role model, but he obviously loves his son to the end of the earth. And collectively, they can raise a child in a safe environment where general morality is not something that escapes the Crystal Gems, quite obviously. So
exactly.
They can sit there and think, how could you run from us like that? That's terrible. We're going to, you know, and of course, you know, Garnet just sits there and says, hey, no dinner for 1,000 years. Because in her head, yeah, you can punish a gem that way in the moment.
Right.
Because gems don't really need to
eat.
It's just
that.
A pleasure thing. But
not even that. You've in the past, you know, I don't say only recently, but in the past, usually, let's say certain movies or just hearing how your parents or your grandparents would talk about how they were punished. Do it here. You can't have supper, young man, or
yes.
You know, young lady.
Which
and you
is
sit
like
there,
a throwback.
At least, yes. And now I think, you know, the idea of doing that is just, well, fine then. I'll call child services, you know, right, where it's just, you know. But at the time, it's like, yeah, like you said, like a throwback where it's just no supper for 1,000 years. That's like normal, right? That's just like a minute, right?
Yeah, no. It just kind of makes me laugh. So, and I just laughed the whole, good use of the it's because we love you line. And I smiled where I was like...
That
I
was
kind
one
of chuckled.
For the parents.
Where, that's what I'm saying. Where I'm sure, like, the parents, like, not even parents who are watching the show, but just, I like that exchange as, like, guardian to guardian, because I like to think that the parents sometimes interact that way. Like, do you ever use that line on your kids? It's for your own good. Of course, because it is for their own good. See, you get me. They don't. That felt like a very parental conversation to me, and I guess, you know, not being a parent, I can't attest to it either way, but it did make me kind of amused, because I thought that was cool.
It was a very fun thing, you know, and I think, you know, as I was bringing up before, you know, the idea of, hey, even if you're not, you know, this nuclear family, you could function. Something interesting is, even if you don't want to make the parallel, let's say, with the, you know, LGBT community, where it's just, hey, if you're not in, you know, this, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter, it doesn't change anything. Still, even the idea to Connie, where it's just, well, what about, you didn't mention, like, just have a dad? Nope, that is even weird in her eyes, which is also interesting, where it's just, even the idea of being a single parent, in a way, it's just, nope, I told them you had a mom and dad. Because, you know, in her head, it was just, no, to my parents, anything that's different than what is this will be, you know, wrong. And that wasn't the case, of course, at the end of the day. Where, you know, they realized, which, again, is a great thing for the adults watching, where it's just, hey, guess what, adults? Look at this, you know? Because I think they also have to have those, not just for the kids watching, but also for the adults, really. Just thinking that, hey, you know, these people are quote-unquote different, but that in no way means that they are wrong or that they are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that as a lesson, because sometimes you can't just sit there and just have something for the kids, you know. There are adults watching, you know, there are parents that will sit there and watch with their kids, and they'll hear this message, and hopefully they'll think, oh, that is nice. Because what are they going to say in front of their kids? No, that's wrong. Fuel the hate.
Yeah, and very quickly, I also enjoy the idea that Connie's parents, while strict, they are not, like, nuts.
Tyrants.
That, you know? And you touched on this very quickly before, but just the idea of, like, yeah, because we haven't really had a chance to interact with those characters, and kudos to Steven Universe, of course, for bringing that out, they are just strict parents. And I get that. I don't really agree with being that strict, but hey. So let me spin that around real quick before we lose track of things, because I really want to talk about this whole Guardians of Fusion theory because of something that happened. And I pointed this out to you because if you look very, 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 very closely, now if you have the benefit of watching this online or in a way that you can pause it on demand television, anything
DVR.
That you can pause it, you know, DVR
right.
as well as Matt has, you can pause it right around the scene. It's about, if you're timing it on your own based on when exactly the episode starts, it's about 8 minutes in or so, when they break apart because of the fight, in terms of they can't coexist as three gems. Interesting. As a three-gem fusion. Yes.
Right.
But they break apart, and if you look very, very closely, and there is a screenshot of this floating around, and I have one myself, of the gems breaking apart. And you can see an outline of Pearl with her gem, an outline of Amethyst with her gem, and then where Garnet's supposed to be, essentially there's two smaller people, each with Garnet's
or
gem.
Or smaller things. One looks like a person, one looks like a thing. And, you know, one gem each, which, as you mentioned, brings up the idea of, is she a permanently fused person? Or if you're a permanently fused gem? My idea, which maybe she just has two gems, which is why you go, that is the leader. Because two powerful gems inside. Also, possibly a twin thing, where, you know, when twins, apparently the idea is that, you know, one twin assimilates the other if a twin becomes one baby. It's not that one twin just goes away. They literally assimilate the other. But
yeah,
still,
I like half of that and half of the idea that she is a fusion. Because to me,
yes,
Garnet is a fusion of, like, twins. Because they look to be about the same body shape. And I sit there and I reference the whole idea that in the Sujalite episode, where they mentioned that if a gem is fused too long, they're stuck in that form.
Exactly.
And now with Sujalite, it's a bit more unstable because you can see the qualities of Garnet's aggressive. Like, you could see their good qualities, but it was kind of overshadowed by the fact that they were power hungry and just a little bit unstable. Where you look
right.
at a fusion like Opal, and although it must exert energy and such, it seems like the fusions are a crapshoot where some of them can end up like Opal, or if Garnet is a fusion, like Garnet, and thus, you know, be more powerful naturally than a standalone crystal gem. And
right.
it would make sense that Garnet's the de facto leader because of that.
Yes, it would. Which, so sadly, we have to end things. But ending it on that note is very interesting one. Because again, is Garnet a fusion or is she not? And we don't know as of yet, and hopefully soon that will be brought up in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and then also wanting to end it on, is that it's very interesting to show, I think, kids, people that, hey, something can happen. Like, you can fuse. Yeah, of course you can fuse. But will it work? It's a completely separate question that was answered when they weren't synced. They were a person, but they weren't synced in any way. Where it was
right.
the idea of, oh, I want to eat this. Well, you're not going to. Where usually it's, oh, we want to eat this. We are one. But anyway, we would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. If you want to hear any of our other shows, WWE, WWE Pay-Per-View, Dragon Ball Z, Gotham, other Steven Universe, Gravity Falls, The Flash and Arrow, and many others, you can go check us out on our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. We also put new episodes on there as well. We have merchandise on there, which you can buy through us, through Amazon, or through Right Stuff. We also have our Facebook page, thoseguysontheradio.com/thoseguysontheradio, or search up Those Guys, where we post new episodes as well, and our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, which our handles now Hillbilly Jim, where we also post new episodes. And to any of you who sadly were not able to get Pokemon, right, because we had a Pokemon Shiny giveaway, which was very nice and very shiny, if any of you liked us on our Facebook page, please go back and check the post that we've been posting, because currently we have no winners on Facebook. Because
and that means you have a chance. You have a
chance.
Go check us out on Facebook.
Until this Sunday. So definitely check it out. Otherwise, we're going to have to give it to Facebook, I'm sorry, to Twitter and Tumblr.
Right on.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening to those guys. And we are signing out.
Good night.
Play us out with some music.
I know I'm not that tall. I know I'm not that smart. But let me drive my van into your heart. Let me drive my van into your heart. I know I'm not that rich. I'm trying to get my start. So let me drive my van into your heart. Let me drive my van into your heart. And if we look at a plane, well, baby, that's okay. I'll drive us into outer space, where we can hear what people say. I know I don't have a plan, I'm working on that part. At least I've got a van. So let me drive my van into your heart. 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 Let me drive my van into your heart.